Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm again recommending an increase in money that's dedicated to increasing teacher salaries, as well as a continuation of the civics bonus program that gives a $3,000 bonus to all teachers that complete our Civic Seal of Excellence training course. Now,
which is a great program. I love that. It's good to make sure that teachers, it's like $3,000, right? He said that they get if they complete this course, which is excellent. We have great education here in the state of Florida. It is continually getting better. I'm not saying there are no concern notes. I definitely have concern notes. But, you know, it seems to be going well, and especially the expansion of choice and the use of, you know, which is forcing our public school system to respond in a positive manner, like leverage is kind of, it makes sense. You know, you don't, a monopoly doesn't have to change until competitors come along and offer a better product at a cheaper price. And all of a sudden, oh, whoa, we got to do something. Well, that's what choice facilitates.
Now, our universities have earned strong commendations, and we currently have four state universities ranked within the top 50 for public universities throughout the entire United States. Universities must be dedicated to the pursuit of truth, the promotion of academic rigor and integrity, and the preparation of students to be citizens of this republic.
Amen.
We led the way in Florida by being the first state to eliminate DEI from our higher education system. We continue to lead the way by holding the line on tuition. We have not allowed a tuition increase since I've become governor, and Florida has the lowest in-state tuition in the entire United States of America. Families.
Higher education in Florida is an absurdly good deal. Don't tell anybody. Plus, with Bright Futures, I mean, it's free or almost free if you get a 75%. It's really amazing what we're doing with, or we have been doing for a long time with higher ed in the state of Florida. Also, and I don't know why I feel the need to say this, but here's just a thought. There's been a lot of push for vocational education, you know, sort of technical training over the last few years as an alternative to college. And I agree with you. Like, we have for too long been telling people that they need to go to college and get a bunch of debt with their degree, and then they can eventually work it off by the time they're 50 in some field that maybe uses their degree. Like, it's not the plan for everybody. You know, vocational, technical ed, you know, learn how to be a plumber or an air conditioning, you know, maintenance, or working on airframes, you know, at ST Engineering. I mean, these are really, really, truck driving, these are all really good industries, and you can make a lot of money doing them. Not everybody should go to college. At the same time, there can be too much emphasis on just getting money or getting profit out of your degree in terms of, you know, a high-paying job. There is a value in making citizens. A difficult-to-quantify value in teaching civics, but not just civics, but teaching, you know, literature and the arts and poetry. And, you know, it may not be math and science. You know, it may not make a better widget, but it makes a better person. And a democracy, you call it a republic, I do not care. Let's not have this argument. Needs a more enlightened, informed, thoughtful, reflective, rational, discourse-oriented population. I don't think we're really overachieving in that direction right now. So don't only reduce either K-12 education to the practical value or even higher education to the pure practical value. Now, are there absurd examples? Yes, there are. I taught college. I understand there are absurd examples. But, you know, there are not very many people that are going to go off and get rich in philosophy, I can tell you. But teaching, for example, my field, philosophy, teaching people logic and critical thinking, teaching people analogical reasoning, exposing people to questions about epistemology and metaphysics and even theology and ethics, That's helpful for forming a more enlightened population that will do a better job of handling the tremendous responsibility of self-governance. So I don't know, just, it felt like it needed to be said. Don't just reduce education to how many workers and how many lawyers are you producing and how many mechanical engineers. My kids are mechanical engineers, so I can say it. Think about it in a different way as well. There was another topic that he talked about quite a bit during the State of the State address, and it was very interesting to me personally, and I know to a lot of people as well. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on Scenic Highway trying to get on I-10 westbound, we've got a vehicle crash with roadblock that is blocking the entrance ramp to I-10 westbound. Be prepared for that. And on 98 at Sunrise Drive and Leisure Street, roads blocked there. And then if you go a little more east of that, you're going to have another accident, which is blocking the road also at Panhandle Trail and 98. So just pack your patience. That's about a 20-25 minute delay through the Navarre Beach Bridge area. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, let's have a talk about property taxes.
While Florida property values have surged in recent years, this has come at a cost to taxpayers squeezed by increasing local government property taxes.
Okay, I don't love the setup because it sounds like he's saying local governments are going to be, are squeezing you, are the ones that are taking the money away from you. And we'll get into this in a second.
Escalating assessments have created a gusher of revenue for local governments, and in many throughout Florida, I've seen their budgets increase far beyond the growth in their populations.
Okay, gusher of income. You do realize that inflation has hurt governments too, that they're paying more for everything, including the labor force. So inflation is affecting everybody, and it's a problem that everybody's trying to deal with. Yes, property values go up, therefore property taxes go up, therefore revenues for your state and local government go up. But it's not as simple as saying, but they're not taking on more people, therefore their revenue shouldn't go up. The price of things goes up, and even a stable level of population would still need an increasing revenue just to pay for the employees. You know, the people who clean the ditches, the, you know, the people who collect the trash, the people who repair the sewer line breaks and make sure that the roads are paved. I mean, you know, and the cops and the firemen and the teachers. Okay, so I don't love the line of reasoning he's using here, which is to act as though state and local governments are just putting the squeeze on you. By the way, with the rule on homesteads in the state of Florida, you know, your homestead at least doesn't go up more than a certain specified amount. And so it doesn't even apply to most people in the way he's talking about it. Now, people on a fixed income, yes. Okay, it can be problematic. And agree that the increasing price of homes is making it so people pay more property taxes, and I hate that too. But the notion that somehow it's local governments are abusing the power of the ad valorem taxes.
Taxpayers need relief. You buy a home, you pay off the mortgage, and yet you still have to write a check to the government every year just for the privilege of living on your own private property. Is the property yours, or are you just renting it from the government?
Oh, amen, brother. You have me at that one. Because I have for my, as far as I can remember, I mean, this is like 30 or 40 years, I hate property taxes. I don't hate what they go to fund, but tax mechanisms matter. And tax mechanisms always have to accomplish, I mean, two basic things. They have to be, they have to collect the money in a just way, a fair way. And they have to be used for good policy, right? Property taxes cannot be justified. I'm just telling you, there's no way to justify the idea that you keep renting your property back from the government every year, and if you don't pay it for 3 years, they can sell it to somebody else. You extra can't justify why people who have a $1 million home pay twice as much as people who have a $500,000 home. Can't do it. So yes, it is a fundamentally unjust system.
And I know members of the legislature are studying the issue in anticipation of formulating a proposal to place on the 2026 ballot so that we can provide constitutional protections for Florida homeowners. Please know you have my support in this endeavor.
Yes. But of course, if you're going to get rid of property taxes, how do you fund the government? Right? Massive source of funding for the school boards and for your local county and city governments, right? You pay your cops and your firemen and, you know, not everything, because sometimes things are funded in different ways, but you know, you pave roads by paying property taxes and gas taxes. But, you know, okay. And impact fees. I know. There's a lot of things. Also, part of the issue is what I don't like is the proliferation of taxing mechanisms. Taxing should be simple. So simple that you don't even have to fill out a form. Like, really, part of the... Think about the inefficiency cost of income taxes that we avoid in the state of Florida by not having them. What if at the federal level we got rid of income taxes? Yes, it's going to put a lot of accountants out of work. I live with it. A lot of lawyers get out of work. I live with it because think of the efficiency we get in exchange of people not wasting time and money on this non-productive sector of the economy. But back to the simple issue of the property tax. Yes, a lot of extra money in another way is going to have to be generated. Through what? Well, it's not going to be an income tax, so it's probably going to be a sales tax, right? That's the most likely, a consumption tax, some kind of a flat tax, something like that.
Oh, and one other thing. Don't anyone tell you we're going to seek to raise state taxes because this body will not pass tax increases and this governor will not sign any tax increases.
Of course, just a thought is that a proper a sales tax increase for the state is not, I mean, it's, he doesn't necessarily have to sign it. If it's going to go on a constitutional amendment ballot, then it's more of what we do. But, yeah, it's not going to be a state raise in money, which is good because the state doesn't get their money from that anyway. The problem I have with some of the analysis and the discussion around this topic is it seems very biased to me. As somebody who is very biased against property taxes for the reasons I've just explained, the conversation, the news reporting around this says things like the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy's latest Who Pays report found that the bottom 20% of Florida taxpayers had a state and local tax rate nearly five times that of the top 1%. And that on its own might be true. But what's the actual tax amount being paid by the bottom 20% and the top 1%? Because I just fundamentally disagree with the premise that wealthy people should be paying 100 times more in total taxes, because they do, because they spend more money, they have property tax, they pay all of it. Like, tell me the amounts. You know, why should people who don't make much money not have to pay for fire protection, police protection, roads? They use the roads, they use the fire, they use the police. Like, everybody should pay for this. Just because somebody makes a bunch of money doesn't mean they should pay more for it. And that shows up most specifically when you're talking about property taxes. Another line in this same story. Who was the source on this one? I don't remember now. It was a statewide story, I think. Anyway, the average effective state and local tax rate is 13% for Florida families and individuals with the lowest income, 9% for those in the middle, and 2.7% for the top 1%. Okay. But you know that 2.7% of a million is a lot more, right? Or of 5 million or of 10 million is a lot more than 13% of, say, 50,000. And that's part of the point is if we get rid of the property taxes, it's going to force us to have more meaningful conversations about fair taxing and that some people don't pay much taxes. Now, that's more true at the income tax at the federal level, okay? But, you know, fire protection, everybody ought to pay for fire protection. Everybody ought to pay for police. Everybody ought to pay for roads. Everybody ought to pay for, you know, sewer and garbage and... Everybody ought to pay for these things. And so having a conversation about what's a fair form of tax, what's the right amount of tax, and how can you not make it so that people have to continually rent their property back from the government every year by paying tax, I'm in. Let's do it. Can you imagine if we became the first state to eliminate property taxes? Holy smokes. I mean, that would be revolutionary. And remember, the premise of the American system of government is 50 experiments. I mean, it was 13 in the beginning, but now 50 experiments, right? Maybe soon 53, Panama, Greenland, Canada. Anyway, probably not Puerto Rico, just saying. Don't seem to be as eager to annex. I mean, they are a part, but we're not going to statehood them. So, you know, do experiments, see what happens. Maybe it's a catastrophe, or maybe it makes the state of Florida even better than it already was. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever pray for spiritual and mental strength? Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers was a prayer to strengthen their inner man. Let's pray his prayer right now and ask God to strengthen us in the same way. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, according to the riches of your glory, please allow us to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, thank you in advance for how you will strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Tired of wandering the aisles of those big box stores, struggling to find the help you need? At Home Outlet, we do things differently. First, we guarantee the lowest price on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. Find it cheaper somewhere else? We'll beat it by 10%. Second, we're employee owned. Yep, the folks helping you design your dream kitchen actually own the place. You're not just another customer to us. You're the customer. So why deal with the other stores? Break up with the big box and upgrade to Home Outlet. Find a location near you at homeoutlet.com.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 728 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody said it sounds like maybe the legislature is only looking at eliminating home property taxes and keeping maybe, you know, like rental property or business property or whatever. Okay, could be. I'm not sure. We don't know what the proposal is actually going to be. But remember, if there's property tax on your rental home, then the renter pays that through their monthly rent. And if there's a business property tax or a business rental tax, then the consumers wind up paying that. So it's still there. You maybe have less of the philosophical objection against it than you know you would otherwise, but it's still going to wind up affecting people. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to report, but on 98 just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're going to see some delays all the way through Wind Haven Beach through the Santa Rosa Mall area. So just be aware of that. That's about a 15 to 20 minute delay. I-10 starting to slow down just a little bit through the construction zone between Pine Forest and Highway 29. So just be aware of that. That's about a 10 to 12 minute delay. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump is reportedly planning to sign an executive order as soon as today that would effectively shut down the Department of Education. The draft order, seen by the Wall Street Journal, directs newly confirmed Education Secretary Linda McMahon to take all steps permitted by law to facilitate that department's closure.
This is completely unexpected. Nobody could see this coming, and it was an absolute surprise to every single person that has paid attention to anything ever.
Shocker. Just total shocker. Yeah.
Linda, turn the lights out and don't let the door hit you on the way out. McMahon, I mean, we knew this was coming. Go ahead, David.
I just see her running around the office with a steel chair, you know. That's all I can think of when I think. All right. Pope Francis remains in stable condition today, hospitalized in Rome for 3 weeks now. In a Wednesday update, the Vatican said that he had marked Ash Wednesday by blessing the sacred ashes and calling a parish in Gaza.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, I have some tickets to give away. I have Pensacola Opera. The classic Verissimo Opera puts drama in the spotlight. It's a Pagliacci performance March 14th and 16th. Caller number 3 wins 2 tickets.
News, I'm CJ Papa. Red line drawn from President Trump to the terror group Hamas. Release Israeli hostages or they'll be held to pay. But there's a wrinkle.
The administration's been holding direct talks with Hamas over the release of the hostages and also a broader deal to end the war. That makes direct contact with a terrorist organization for the first time.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich. President Trump wants to erase the Education Department.
It's being reported that Trump will ask newly sworn in Education Secretary Linda McMahon to body slam the agency, quote, take all necessary steps to facilitate the closure of the Education Department based on the maximum extent appropriate and permitted by law.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. French President Macron and his counterpart from Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, meet in Brussels. The European Union nations are at a special summit today discussing a path forward in Russia's war in Ukraine. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it is sunny. We've got 45 degrees in Pensacola. A Pensacola man is now charged for a fatal drive-by shooting at a home on M and West Gonzalez Streets last summer. Police said a victim was sitting on his front porch when he was shot in the head. That was June 20th of 2024. 22-year-old Tyreek Malik Baldwin was arrested this week. Investigators say he had subleased an SUV involved in that shooting and was identified by a voice expert on a recorded conversation discussing the shooting. Baldwin's being held in the Escambia County Jail. He has denied any involvement. One person has died, another taken to a hospital after two separate pedestrian-involved crashes in Pensacola yesterday. The first happened around 7 p.m. on the in the Ross parking lot at Fairfield and Mobile Highway. That person was taken to a hospital. There's no word on their injuries. A few hours later, a pedestrian was hit and killed on Highway 98. This is near the Perdido Bay Emergency Room. FHP said the 42-year-old Flomaton man was walking in the road when he was hit by a car that didn't see him. He died at the scene of that crash. Last week, damage was discovered on Graffiti Bridge, which may have been caused by a recent truck strike. That led many people to ask the city whether repairs were being made. Mayor D.C. Reeves says they contacted the rail company, but it's not their bridge to fix.
So what do we do when there's a strike? It is their duty when there is a strike to have the bridge inspected both by themselves and by another third party.
Okay.
Someone else has to come in that's not them to look at it as well. So, you know, in a sense, to your point, hey, you see something that looks a little off, obviously always let us know. We'll never be mad because someone, you know, tried to alert of a potential safety issue.
And that is Mayor D.C. Reeves there. He says the city is working on installing a first-of-its-kind warning system on 17th Avenue to stop those strikes before they happen, but there have been some holdups in figuring out whether to use a physical or a laser device. Reeves said there have been lots of layers with getting that installed. Well, discussions on Florida's property taxes are intensifying in Tallahassee, an economic impact study being anticipated as a first step. Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing for tax cuts while lawmakers are considering expanding the homestead exemption. A final proposal may not be announced until the 2026 season. Senate Finance Chairman Brian Avila did stress the need for feedback from local governments, as property taxes are vital for funding essential services. A proposal aimed at evaluating the effects of eliminating property taxes is in the works. The results of a study, the study are expected by October. The Fort Pickens campground at the Gulf Islands National Seashore reopens later today. This is after a brief closure earlier this week due to severe weather. Day use areas reopened yesterday. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with an accident that happened the Panhandle Trail in Navarre Parkway. Actually, there's two of them, and they're saying that the road is blocked there. So just be aware of that. That's about a 10 to 15 minute delay. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 20 minute congestion construction delay there. It's not looking good. So be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see a nice sunny day today with temperatures near 68 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46. On Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 62. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping some clouds around on Friday with a high near 67. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. It is 44 degrees in Pensacola right now, 45 in Gulf Breeze, 45 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Got some more updates on tariffs for you. Automaker Stellantis said it shared President Trump's goal of building more cars in the U.S. as it thanked him for granting a one-month exemption for U.S. automakers from tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Additionally, the Trump administration is reportedly thinking of some agricultural exemptions from tariffs on Mexico and Canada. That's according to Bloomberg News. And separately, 7&I Holdings, the parent of 7-Eleven, said it will replace Rishuchi Isaka with lead independent outside director Stephen Dacus, making a foreigner the top executive for the first time. The company also announced a share buyback of $13.2 billion and plans to list its North American subsidiary, 7-Eleven Incorporated. Futures are sharply lower amid President Trump's tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 485, the NASDAQ up 267, the S&P 500 up 64. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jan Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Something we haven't talked at all about today and probably won't talk much about, but, you know, Eglin has closed off some of the access close to their facilities, 1,000 foot into the water. And as somebody who's paddleboarded some of those areas, I'm glad we paddleboarded it before it was restricted. But there has been a lot of, like, language talk and not so much the pictographic, the, you know, being able to see it on a map. I shared a post from Eglin, actually, on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3, where you can see all of the maps of all the locations that this would affect, if that matters to you. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, and he joins us every Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So you guys had a follow-up arrest on a homicide from about 9 months ago?
Yeah, it occurred 9 months ago. The victim was sitting on his front porch. A vehicle drove up. Three individuals got out of it and shot at him, striking him in the head and killing him. This was 9 months ago, and which is a long time, especially for the family, as well as it is for the investigators. But it just goes to show that these investigators at the Pensacola Police Department do not and will not ever give up on any case. They're going to follow through no matter how long it takes. And fortunately, we were able to make an arrest yesterday.
There's not only no statute of limitations on homicide, but there is no statute or there is no limitation on the concern that police officers care for those kinds of cases. So I appreciate that. What do we know what was the motive? Do we know any of the other surrounding details about the case?
Well, the case is still under investigation, so I have to keep a little bit of that to myself. But, it's difficult to say sometimes initially, but throughout the course of the investigation, motive and those things like that do come forward. So, again, this one's still active, so I need to keep quiet on that for the time being.
Well, I'll ask you maybe a clarifying question. No homicide is justified except in self-defense, okay? But random dude sitting on his porch gets ambushed by three people in a car. I care about that in a different way than if the person who was the target was targeted because of criminal activity or something like that. You get what I'm saying? Do we even know sort of category A or category B here, can you say?
Well, I can tell you that it wasn't random.
Okay.
So this, you know, as far as a danger to the public and that sort of thing, that wasn't the case.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's and that's why I mean, they're all homicides. They all need to be prosecuted. We can't have people shooting each other. But I just in my brain, I handle these things a little bit differently. I wanted to ask you follow up from the parade. I told the mayor yesterday, it didn't even occur to me to go down on Main Street and look when the road was closed. It just didn't slip my brain after we talked about it so much. How did traffic go on Saturday?
Andrew, it couldn't have gone any better. The plan was well executed. It was well thought out. And we had zero problems. We had zero arrests. We had zero tickets. We did not have to tow a single vehicle. And traffic flowed exactly the way it was supposed to avoid the area. The people that did need to get through, that needed to get to homes and businesses south of Main Street, were able to do that. And we were able to get them out of there when they were getting off work. So it couldn't have gone any better, to be honest with you.
So there was no congestion in the surface streets north and east of Bayfront and north and west on Main. There was just not a congestion issue in the area?
No, they flowed well on the east side up 9th Avenue, on the west side up A Street, just like it was planned. So, you know, there were a few people that were caught by surprise, but there was signage out, there were officers out, and it went very well. And I see that plan happening again in the future.
So to be clear, what you're saying is that Andrew McKay was completely 100% wrong.
Well, if the shoe fit.
Hey, what did I say? I hope I'm wrong. I'm glad to be wrong. So then the follow-up question is, what does this mean for the plan for, like, Fiesta and subsequent parades?
Well, again, this is a situation where we expected a huge crowd, and there was because of the weather. And it's going to depend on the event. We look at the weather leading up to it, the amount of people that may be coming down there. All of that is taken into account when we're making plans. But one thing I can tell you for sure is before these events, we will go through you guys in the media and our social media to let everybody know what our plan is on the traffic direction.
Okay. And I know I felt very safe. I felt, you know, looking around at some of the changes, I don't know how visible it was to everybody else, but I knew what I needed to be looking for. And to me, it was really obvious some of the things that had been done to enhance security, particularly from the threat of a vehicle being misused. You know, it was my pleasure to do a little bit of cheerleading for you all on the parade route. You know, that was kind of fun. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah. I did a little bit of that on the parade route. It was kind of fun. They gave me the mic, so I'm going to cheer for PPD. Why not? But yeah, no, I thought the event went. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to thank, too, it wasn't just us. We had a lot of help from the Scambia County Sheriff's Office. We want to thank Sheriff Simmons for that. We also had help from the Florida Highway Patrol and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So there was a heavy police presence there, and fortunately, it wasn't everything went safe. It went well for us.
No, I agree. There were a lot of different cop cars and uniforms, and the uniforms you didn't see because they weren't wearing any, a lot of people there, and it was clear that it was run well. That was great. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. We'll get back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone, traffic is basically at a standstill right now. No accident to report, but just due to congestion and construction. So be prepared for that. About a 25, 30-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, one of the things, it's a kind of an odd thing, but I know you were interested in this because I know you had posted on your social media that you thought one of the best moments of the State of the Union address or joint address, whatever you want to call it, was the kid. The kid who was in the process of beating or had beaten cancer and had been deputized in several law enforcement agencies got the Secret Service appointment. And it kind of made me think about, you know, a lot of kids say they want to grow up and be a thing. I wanted to be a dentist, then an architect, and then, I don't know, anything. But never talk radio host. That was never on the agenda. So is it common for kids to dream about being cops? And how many of them follow through if you have any? I mean, I don't know. Is that a thing?
Well, I have a little personal experience in that. I wanted to be a police officer since I was in the first grade. And the reason for that is I had a bicycle stolen out of my yard when I was a first grader. My parents called the police. A short time later, when the police car pulled up to the house, the trunk was halfway closed. And there was a bicycle tire sticking out of it. And I ran to the back of that cruiser. And sure enough, it was mine. The officer on the way over saw a bicycle in a ditch. He picked it up in hopes that it was the right one. And it was. And Andrew, I thought that guy was the best person in the world, and I wanted to be him. So
what
that was,
a great
and that was in the first
story.
Grade. So
that's amazing. Yeah, all right.
And well, I mean, it stuck with me all my life, and my parents kind of used it, not against me, but used it went through my teenage years, high school years. You've got to stay out of trouble, or you'll never get that job. You've got to have good grades, or you'll never get that job. And I was scared to death of not getting that job, so I did exactly what they told me to do. And didn't have, you know, you can't hang around the wrong people, that sort of thing. So it worked well. But, you know, a lot of kids have that dream, and then it goes by the wayside, whether it be life circumstances or they find out that there's a lot of ugly things involved in police work, which there is. I did a little quick research this morning, and only 20% of children that at a young age, sort of like this 13-year-old at the address the other night, stick with it and become police officers. I wish that number was higher, but it's around 20%.
I actually think that's pretty high, given how many times people change their dreams and goals over the course of their lives or through experience or whatever. So 20% actually seems like a pretty high number to me, just, you know, comparatively. But, oh, no, I love that story. I mean, I think that's a fabulous story. And I think your parents were really savvy for using your dream as an incentive, you know, to keep you on the right track so that you can accomplish your dream. That's honestly, that's what parents are supposed to do, right? So that's, you know, that's fantastic. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. The one today actually comes out of, we've been having sort of texting conversations and conversations on the air about warrants and ICE in the schools and all of that. And I went on a warrant service with the sheriff's office, a low-risk narcotics warrant. So it wasn't, you know, particularly aggressive, but it wasn't just to show up at the door and knock and show the paper. And that was the question, is if the police come to your door and they're not breaking it in, which under certain circumstances they're justified in doing, can you ask for the paper? Do they have to show you the paper, the warrant, you know, kind of like you see on TV? Do you have a warrant? Yes, it is. Here it is, ma'am. Does that happen?
Yes, we have the warrant, and we will show that to them, but it depends on the circumstances. If it's an emergency where we believe someone is getting hurt inside or evidence is being destroyed, then we simply don't have time for that. We'll get to that later. But yes, we do have to have an active warrant and before that is executed.
Very good. But if a homeowner in a low acuity situation asks for the warrant, like, you know, you say, I'm here to arrest your kid or whatever, you can ask and it has to be provided, right?
Yeah, there's no reason not to. There's no reason to inflame the situation by just saying that we'll get to that later or we don't have it right now. So you need to have that with you and show that to them. And 90% of the time, it's going to go flawlessly. The person's going to let the law enforcement do what they need to do.
And everything you do is strategizes around making it go flawlessly. So I appreciate that. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
7:50 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about that next vehicle, you want a place that's going to take care of you. And by take care of, I don't just mean sell you a car. I mean, everybody will sell you a car, but philosophy matters. You know, the way they think about you as a customer, because I'm sure you've had the experience I've had, which is you go to a used car place, and when you leave, you want to scrape it off you. You know, like you feel like, this is not so pleasant. And also, you know, man, I got out of there with my skin intact. Like the feeling that it's just kind of icky and you don't feel great about the end outcome. And you kind of wonder, did I get taken advantage of? Did I get a good car? I mean, these are very common things. That's why nobody wants to go shopping for these cars. Well, go to Frontier. I just tell you it's different. You know, I had none of that. And I knew from contrast what it's like to have that, and we didn't have that. And I just, you know, we drove a car that we were just trying to test drive, and they're like, do you want to look at a price? I'm like, I guess. Oh, that's a good price. And, you know, can you come down a little bit? Sure. Can you give us a day? Sure. Can you come down a little bit? Sure. Can we buy it? Sure. I mean, like, that was the level. It was such high conflict. You know, it was the easiest thing in the world. And then they did things when we bought the car and then even after the car to follow up with us and make sure that we were super happy, because their philosophy is we want a relationship where we sell you all the cars you're going to buy for the rest of your life. That's Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union, because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Hey, I just bought that.
Hey, you playing it kind of loud, weren't you?
Is there a law against loud music?
Hey, let's watch that attitude, boy. This way, I don't have to take you in.
Good morning, 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, EF0 tornado in Navarre on Champaign. I saw some of the pictures. I know emergency management for Santa Rosa County had sent me some of those as they were over there investigating it with the National Weather Service. And, you know, boats flipped, trailer moved across the yard to the other yard and destroyed, you know, fences down, the kind of stuff you typically do expect to see on an EF0. So, scary, though. And glad nobody was hurt. That's good. You can see some of the pictures on the Facebook page at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we're seeing some major, major backup on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. It's basically a parking lot right now, so definitely want to plan around that. And a lot of people are taking Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile Road. That's also becoming very, very congested, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I'm sorry, John. I was not listening. I was just reading this text. I'm pretty sure there's horse manure or cow manure on the interstate causing a major backup between exit 12 and Pine Forest. You know anything about this? Somebody just texted it in.
I have no idea.
Oh, man. There are times, look, profanity, the FCC has rules about what words you can and cannot say, right? And so we cannot say. There is a very particular way to describe this. Looks like there's a spill on the highway. I don't know, man. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Okay, well, on that note, the Pentagon has signed an AI deal for military planning and operations. They'll be using a program called Thunderforge.
Stop it.
That'll use startup scale AI to make their decision-making process a little bit faster.
What are we hiring Hulk Hogan to run the program? Like, what is this?
Well, let me tell you, brother, Thunderforge. It's the way.
Well, he was Thunderlips in Rocky III, right? So
he was Thunderlips.
There you go.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
You know, yeah. That sounds like a ridiculously stupid joke throwaway line. It's going to come out in 2 days that the actual head of the Thunderforge. You don't know? You don't know? Anyway, go on.
The Thunderforge czar, Hulk Hogan.
There you go.
A woman who stabbed her friend years ago in an effort to summon Slender Man will have a hearing today over her potential release from a mental institution. Morgan Geiser, she was 12 when she and another friend lured another 12-year-old into the woods in Wisconsin in 2014, stabbed her 20 times. The Arnold Palmer Invitational is underway in Florida. This week's PGA Tour is happening at the...
I thought it was where people got together and competitively drank iced tea and lemonade.
Well, that would be one way.
The Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Have you ever seen the video of Arnold Palmer making an Arnold Palmer?
No.
Oh, it's wonderful. You should look it up.
Seems very relaxing.
It really is.
All right. Go on, then. You were talking about the golf side.
Well, now I'm thinking about the drink, the beverage. Scottie Scheffler became a two-time winner of the Invitational last year. He's back in the tournament this year. Joe Highsmith won last week's Cognizant Classic, and he's also competing this week. So there you go. That's going on now.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. This is a complete, like, just, I don't know, if you find it interesting, you find it interesting. I was tongue-in-cheek thinking about the Doge requirement of, you know, tell me the five things that you did last week. So I actually posted my own, like, to Elon Musk just in case, you know, he's thinking about cutting me from my job. I made the list of investigated a tip on, this is for last week, investigated a tip on graffiti bridge damage an hour. Listen to Trump, Zelensky, White House meetings and press conferences, hour and a half. Listen to Pensacola City Council and D.C. Reeves, an hour. Listen to two Santa Rosa County Board of County Commission meetings, 5 hours. Listen to Milton City Council, 2 hours. Listen to Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, 3 hours. Cut audio from above, 10 hours. Read the internet every day, 15 hours. Wrote Transgressors, 3 hours. Attended the Mardi Gras Parade, 3 hours. And presented above on the radio, 20 hours.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McCabe.